That I just cut my hair. I didn't think about that, Ellis, but that I just felt in my heart.
You need to go, and think about that. Think about that.
Okay.
I see the idea of just picking them up and sending them someplace, but, you know, there are people who may tell you they don't need any more monkeys in their area, that the monkeys that come from Barbados may not fit into the species that they have there. But in any case, they're not paying you for that.
So okay.
You got to think that through some more, all right?
Okay. Well, the situation remains the same then. If that's the case.
Pretty bad. Pretty serious. Especially for people in agriculture.
Yeah.
All right. Thank you very much.
No problem.
Hello?
Mr. Ellis, good afternoon to you.
Good afternoon.
Now, in the last couple of days, there was a gentleman calling in speaking about a vehicle he bought. He's a farmer and trying to get money from the government. But I don't know if you heard. Anyhow, he is saying all the time that he wrote the comptroller, he wrote to the Ministry of Finance, he wrote to the agriculture. But once he has written to agriculture and he has gotten that exemption, then he needs to apply for the refund at no time. So he needs to be guided that he has to actually apply for the refund, whether or not it is electronic or manual, because there are prescribed forms on which he must apply to get his refund. And the thing is, hopefully, the two-year period which the law states to me could get extension given the trouble he's saying he has gotten. But given there's a two-year where you can no longer get the refund. So hopefully he's still within that time frame, but he has to actually apply to the comptroller. As I said, there are prescribed forms, whether it is either electronic or manual, to secure that refund.
Okay.
So there's
thank you very much.
That he can follow. Okay.
Yes. Hello.
Good afternoon.
Good
afternoon,
yes, good
Mr. Ellis.
Yes, ma'am. Good afternoon.
Yes, Mr. Ellis, you follow up on this new marijuana bill that passed in Parliament on Friday?
Which one?
The one that, okay, the person with less than 14 grams will not be arrested, but will be given a ticket for $200.
I have listened to the discussion that has been taking place about it.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So I want to know, right, if that person can't pay the $200, what will happen to them?
Well, if you can't pay a fine, what happens? In prison?
You go to jail.
Right.
I know that, but I mean, they didn't say nothing like that. But I mean to say, they're trying to keep people from going court. I mean, go to jail. So I want to know how long you have to keep this ticket and where the money paying to, if the money paying into the court. Because they didn't tell you that.
Well, when a person appears before the court, all of that will be outlined to a person.
By me, they tell you that. It's just put there that, you know, they get a ticket for $200. But before the same person end up with five tickets, no.
To end up with five tickets. But five tickets, why would you end up with five tickets?
I mean,
if you know what the law is, why would you go and fly in the face of the law like that? Would it make sense?
Yeah, but okay, look, a spliff is $200. But if the fund you were a spliff, that's $200, Mr. Ellis.
Well,
you know some people will end up with more than five tickets for a spliff, because your spliff is $200 too.
What would you suggest instead?
What I would suggest?
Mm-hmm.
Not me, it's them that made the law. I think they should look back at this again.
And do what? You must have an idea of what they should do.
But Mr. Ellis, I ain't got no idea what they should do, but I just put it out there. But Mr. Ellis, you know, a person that just like go and scrape up this $5 to go and buy a spliff, where they find $200 from? That going into jail, so it ain't making the sense that you charge them $200 because they're still going in jail.
You would charge $100?
If I charge $100?
$50?
I will charge a little less. About $200 in these times. But ain't for me, I just put it out there, Mr. Ellis. I don't smoke. I want the Rastafarians to come and see what they think about it. I just ask a question. You know, they like to ask questions.
Okay.
So that is for the Rastafarians out there. Will come and, on your program and say what they think about it.
All right. Well, thanks.
All right. You yes. too. All right. Bye-bye.
12:22 in the afternoon. Welcome to Down to Brass Tacks. Hello.
Hello.
Yes, welcome.
Yeah, I belatedly called. I didn't even know you was on the program, actually, sir. I had to call. This will be a quick call. I really want to compliment you for an excellent job you have done in broadcasting in Barbados. I would like to say publicly, you have made a great impact in the country. And it should be an example to those in the media, and particularly what's happening now in the media. The media personnel, you know, some people say we don't have journalists no more. We have reporters. I think you should pick your brain and find out how you become. I know it's hard work and legwork, but in any legwork, to become to that standard. So I just basically want to congratulate you, sir, on outstanding period in broadcasting.
I want to thank you very much.
And wish you all the best in the future.
Because you know that in all of this, recent times you and I have not necessarily seen. Well, this is an important discussion. Huh? It's an important discussion.
Yes.
Because we have from time to time to take up causes and take positions that don't necessarily accord with the views of people in the political parties. And there are a lot of people who call this program. Some of them are Dems, some of them are Bs. From where I sit, the constituency that we are supposed to serve is in the middle there. And that's not a large section of the society. There are more Bs and Ds than there are people in the middle. Those people in the middle, though, have the capacity to swing things one way or the other. And on many occasions, you can find that there's a tide that is swinging one way or the next. And it is the responsibility of the person who is seeking to be independent to ride that particular wave, to go with the wave, to show what is actually happening. And sometimes in trying to show what is going on and trying to get people who are in positions of authority to respond to what is happening, you end up being marginalized and being accused of being anti-government. It happens all the time, irrespective of whether it's a BLP or a DLP government. And what I really would like to encourage as much as possible is that respect for the independent thought, for the person who does not care about being B, D, or any other P, but that person is concerned with saying, look, this one is right, and we agree with this. This one needs to be adjusted, and we recommend that you make a change, and that you consider the options available to you. You may make a decision at the end of the day that people may not agree with, but this is a society in which people realize that at the end of it all, the decision has been made by those who have been elected, but you want to encourage that dialogue, you want to encourage that independence of thought.
But as you said earlier, but look, I respect you totally and fully, but I think it's about the truth. And it's about, now you said a couple of things to me. I never would, and I never would come to this program or any other program and try to mislead. I didn't deal with issues I would deal with facts. People might interpret it as being biased. Everybody have a thing, but I don't necessarily bring bias to the program. I try to bring truth. You said about balance. Let's talk about truth. You said you bring the balance. I just
truth. But the reason why this question of balance arises is because sometimes people come and project what they believe to be truth, only to discover that when the other side comes, they bring a slant to it that suggests that what you thought was truth isn't real truth at all.
Well, that's what I'm saying. I don't do that.
All right. Well, it depends. It depends. No. There are times when you don't just deal with truth. There are times when you form opinions based upon the information at your disposal. Okay. Anyhow, thank you very much for calling and for your sentiments. Next, we go to the Starcom Network News. Good afternoon. Welcome to the continuation of today's edition of Down to Brass Tacks. I'm David Ellis with you up until 2 o'clock today. Welcome to the program.
Good afternoon, Miss Ellis.
Yes, ma'am. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon. I'm calling here from Rahal, St. Andrew. Talking
What you talking about?
Yes, I'm talking about complaining about water from Rahal, St. Andrew.
Well, this is not a new problem, is it?
Yes, but this here is from October now. This is from October now. We get not little water in my tap.
Well, how have you caught all of this time?
Well, the water truck just turned around and I got a tank there from me, but I can't head but no water. I can't help but I get somebody to bring water and full of things to me. And then I got the sentence for a bill every month from October. And I got sending for more money every month.
Have you raised this with the Barbados Water Authority, though?
Yeah, they come in, they dig up theirs from me. And apart from across from me getting water, but from my side going backward and getting no water at all. And thing is, I can't have no water. This ain't good enough.
Well, you've been able to deal with it for quite a long time, though.
Yes, from October up to now, can't get no water at all.
You say you have to get somebody to assist you?
Yes, I got to get my grandchildren, my son, got to bring water for me, even to put water in me for to bed, water, flushy, tidy, all the things. You think if I could have water, I wouldn't mind, but I can't have no load no water because I'm a pensioner. And I've been paying every month for water, for money.
Well, this is part of a big national problem in some areas. The government has been well aware of it. It has made some promises. The critical issue here is that by now they should be updating you and people in your situation on what progress they are making in trying to resolve those problems, bearing in mind that the government's attention has been diverted to the difficulties we're facing with COVID. So perhaps it is timely for us to hear a bit about that.
It is too long. Almost 6 months.
I can understand that.
Not there water my tap at all. Not good enough.
Well, out of this, Lord, let me tell you the positive that I get. You got grandchildren who are helping.
Yes, but you can't pay for them all. I think I know the grandchildren hold me that sometimes.
How many grandchildren you have?
I got a lot.
A lot?
All around me. All around me.
They're not all going to be there, but how many of them actually help you all?
I got at least one little girl,
One little girl?
Yes, a girl. She does. I just call her, she to get some water for me. When the vitamin thing come up, my son.
Okay. Well, I hope the government can update you and others on progress that is being made in trying to resolve this problem that so many of you have been facing for quite a long time, and that you will soon be over it.
I hope so.
All right, thank you very much.
All right, thank you too.
Mm-hmm. Hello, Dr. Brassatz. Welcome to the program. This person says that they want to congratulate the person who touched the heart of many, they are sure. I hope you felt listened to. You really demonstrated a good measure of care and sensitivity to its play. I would also like to commend you. So thank you, Mr. Ellis. We have similar problems in the UK with enthusiastic students leaving their various universities with full honors and a plan for their future careers. They become very disillusioned with their job prospects as they discover that their chosen degree has many competitors, and the pool in which they have entered has many sharks. In the UK, many students studied media journalism and had to settle for work in pizza or burger outlets because of the lack of vacancies in the field they desired. Nepotism does exist in these circumstances, but it shouldn't be blamed for every eventuality or even the reason for not being selected for a position applied for. Thank you for being there. Saint Maria. Down to Brass Tacks. Hello. You're on the air. Hello. Thank you very much for tuning in to today's edition of Down to Brass Tacks and being part of the program. Especially if you are a contributor to it. Hello? We seem to be having a bit of a problem there. One of the things that I have paid some attention to is a discussion that is evolving about this country's digital ID, a national ID card. There is what I might describe as a paper has been written by a pretty well-qualified Barbadian whose name is Niall Harper. And he said that there are too many unanswered questions about this national digital ID card, or it won't be a card, but it would be a national ID, which would be digital. And some of the concerns that he has raised, I think, need to be addressed by this administration, because he's effectively saying that we are rushing ahead with this particular approach without having the kind of safeguards for people's personal information that ought to exist. And I took a piece out of what he said to me, yes, for today's edition of Sajikar's Early Business. Tomorrow, we're going to be looking at the advice that he gives the government on how it should proceed on this matter. But this is too important an issue for the people of Barbados to sit down and ignore, because it has implications for us in many, many ways. What was particularly revealing from what he said, though, was this, and I'll read exactly what was said on this particular matter. It has to do with the extent to which our systems have been hacked. Looking for the specific quote in the paper that he delivered. My recollection of what he says is that over the last 4 to 5 years, several government departments have found that their information has been hacked. Now, there are some people who accuse people like me of not taking government's information seriously, of not believing what government says, and being skeptical about the information that comes from the administration. Yeah, this is the quote. He says, with regards to trust, more than 20 government online platforms have been hacked in the last 4 to 5 years, contributing to a very low trust in e-government services. And he says, this will severely restrict the uptake of the DID system. But we're not only talking about government being hacked, government sites being hacked, but we've also seen it in the private sector. People have been asked to pay a ransom for information and that sort of thing. If we are going to push ahead with a digital platform against this kind of background, it is not going to inspire confidence. So those who are responsible for it have to do a lot in trying to reassure Barbadians that this particular approach is being seriously examined and that all the necessary steps are being put in place legally and even physically to protect our information, not just from the people who have political ambitions, because you have to bear that in mind too, but from the people outside of Barbados who are hackers and would want to use that information against us. I think the, you know, we don't have an opposition of real strength at the moment. And if you look at what is happening in our country, we have this core of young Barbadians who are speaking to some of these issues, especially at a technical level, online. I think it is very important that we are seeing this kind of movement in the country. Well, in many other respects, the traditionalists do not speak out. The people who are going online seem to be far more adventurous in articulating what they see as the issues and the concerns. And in that regard, I say this young man seems to have done exceedingly well. He knows the technology, but he also has a master's degree in law and has been serving outside of Barbados. I think the last time we spoke to him, he was living in Denmark and has really excelled in the area that he has chosen over the years. So he has now reached the point where he is internationally recognized because he recently won an award in the area of technology. Indeed, he won his specific award was that of he's been associated with an organization called ISACA. ISACA, I'm having a little bit of trouble here with the computer getting to it as quickly as it would like, but Niall Harper, a foreign-based Barbadian executive, is the 2021 recipient of the Technology for Humanity Award, which is awarded by the Information Systems Audit and Control Association, ISACA, and it is for contributions to capacity building across the world towards the development of affordable, open, and user-centric internet infrastructure. So this guy was born and raised where? In Deacon's Farm, St. Michael. Went to Wesley Hall School, Queen's College, University of the West Indies. Then he went on to Algonquin College in Canada, and the University of Strathclyde in the UK, the University of Leicester in the UK, the University of Oxford in the UK, the Florida International University. And then he went to a university called Nanyang Technological University in Singapore. This is a young Barbadian. Well, we talked about the other guy just now who can't find a job. On the other hand, here's a guy who emerges from Deacon's Farm in St. Michael, who is now regarded as an expert internationally in this field, available to give his advice to the government of Barbados. I have no doubt about that. but raising an alarm about how government is proceeding with this particular matter. I believe that this is worthy of discussion in our country. Yes, welcome to Down to Brass Tacks.
Good afternoon, Ms. Ellis. How are you doing?
I'm well, and you?
Not too bad. Ms. Ellis, I want to ask you a question. I want to point out, where do you feel these COVID cases coming from every day?
Let me draw
a reference. Huh?
Right now?
Yeah, let me draw a little reference before we go on. 21, we had 21 a day. We had another 21. Then we had a 47. Then we had a 31. And then we had a 21. Where is it coming from?
It's coming from community spread.
This
is what happens when it spreads within the community, because it effectively spreads within the family too. You know, so when you heard that announcement, you're now seeing what it really means.
But I want to ask you if you don't feel that the topic that Leslie brought up this morning, that got a lot to do with it, you know? Because a lot of them places still got the doors open secretly.
You believe that you can attribute all of that to people having intimate relations in that kind of manner? You really genuinely believe that?
You got to believe it because going in the home.
We can be. You listen. Don't be so naive, man.
Okay, all right.
There are people who are going to work and encountering it. I mean, it's a simple issue there. So the things like at the hospital and that sort of thing, where you have so much COVID now and all of that. I mean, if people interacting with each other, you know, I think that they may well be. There certainly would be a role in which intimacy is playing in it, but it can be the dominant role in all of this.
You know, another thing. You heard about
the fact that they got some fellas who holding fats down in gullies. You heard about that?
No, I never.
You never heard of some people holding to evade the police? They're holding fats in gullies.
But you know why they're getting away? Because the COVID people put out the number 536-3865 and nobody don't answer.
I've lived to see the day where something has happened to put us in the same position that we used to be afraid of when the communists were in greater charge across the world. And that is one part of element of communism is that people are put to snitch on one another. Now we have reached the stage where people are being asked to do exactly that because of COVID. So, you know, stay around long enough, you will see this world change quite a lot.
I know, but you know, another thing that happened, a lot of people still in San Juan, you know? A lot of people still in San Juan in the first place. The boy don't know where to vent or where to go, but then we consider bunching up. So this thing ain't going to stop. That's why don't let the aunt. I storing up like the aunt. But these people really ain't taking this thing serious at all. They just want to. There's a car I used to pass, you might get 8 times in a one day. Tell me where that body could be going, Miss Ellis.